present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with John Glenn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Gene Anderson, Norman Bird, and John Gabriel. Episode 12, Keeping It Warm, featuring this week's guest star, Frances DeWolfe.
Just coming. Got flour on my hands. Show me a minute. Don't go away, whoever you are.
Mother, it's me, Roger. I'm not going away. I've come to apologize.
What did you say?
So open the door and I'll tell you.
Oh, it's you, darling.
I said so, didn't I?
What did you? I couldn't hear. I had flour on my hands.
Mother, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I've washed it off now. Don't just stand there, darling. Come in. Is it just a drop-in on Mother visit, or did you want something?
I want to apologize.
Well, you've just done that, darling. I can't think why. The flour wasn't your fault.
Not the flour, not the flour. I wish to apologize for being rude to you last week.
Yes, you were a little bit, weren't you? But nothing like as rude as you were that time in Frinton.
What time? I haven't been to Frinton since I was four.
Well, that's what I mean. You called me a silly old moo and threw a dead starfish at me.
I didn't. Did I?
Yes, Roger, I'm afraid you didn't.
Well, I apologize for that, too.
It's all right, darling, you missed. You never could throw a straight, could you?
What do you mean? I was jolly good in the covers at school.
No, we never got into the first 11.
There's no need to rub it in,
Mother. Oh, I'm sorry, darling. How thoughtless of me. I apologize.
I'm the one who's apologized.
Oh, so you are. About the flower, was it, or was it Frinton?
No, look, Mother, about what I called you last week.
What did you call me, Roger?
A monstrous regiment of women.
Oh, darling. Monstrous I may be, but a regiment, never.
No, the regiment included Sally and Joy.
Oh, yes, I remembered.
But why on earth did you tell Sally I was with Joy?
Well, I did it for you, darling.
For me?
You've been sitting on the fence between Sally and Joy for so long, I thought it was time you had a little push.
Mother, if I choose to sit on the fence, I'll sit on it. Thank you. You've no right to go pushing me off.
Quite gently, darling.
But why push me at Joy?
She's a very attractive girl.
But I don't love her. At least I don't think I do. But I can't resist her. Whenever I'm with her, I...
You take diabolical liberties.
Please. Please. Just remember, you're old enough to be my mother.
Only just. But if you feel like that about Joy, why are you so cross about my plot?
Because it's Sally I love. At least I think I do when I'm with her.
Joy has certain advantages.
Uncle Alfred?
Well, darling, let's be practical. He dotes on Joy. He's a rich man. He's a busy solicitor. His son-in-law would never be short of a pound or two.
Mother.
I must admit, it would be useful to have a little money somewhere in the family.
You're not in trouble again.
Not trouble, darling. At least not my trouble. It's Elsie McPhee.
You haven't been lending her money again?
Well, just a teeny bit. The poor thing is so extravagant.
And who has to suffer for it?
Oh, Roger, were you going to ask me for some money?
Well, I could do with a tenner, quite frankly. Actually, 20 would be better if you could manage it.
Well, I expect I could, but if you were to marry Joy...
But are you suggesting I should marry for money?
Oh, no, not only for money.
In that case, if I ever do marry, it'll be Sally.
Well, in that case, if you ever are going to marry, you'd better ring her up and put things right between you.
Not on your Nelly.
Roger, I haven't got a Nelly. Don't think so. And you haven't got a Sally if you won't ring her up.
How can I after what she did?
She only rang to say you'd left your umbrella.
You know that was an excuse. She rang to check that I was really here. She didn't trust me. If she wants to see me again, she must make the first move. I'm not going to. We Thursdays have our pride.
Nonsense. If you won't ring Sally, I will.
Don't you dare.
It's the least I can do. Explain it was all my fault. At least it wasn't all my fault. It was partly dear Mr. Grimes.
What's he got to do with it?
I was having lunch with him that day.
Why?
It was Friday.
Mother, he's a married man.
Oh, we weren't canoodling, darling, only lunching.
But why?
He asked me. I was looking for you, and you weren't there, so I went and had a little chat with him.
What about?
Oh, this and that.
Meaning me?
Mostly you.
Mother, how could you? I'm not a schoolboy. Grimes isn't my headmaster.
No, darling, but you are his pupil, and naturally I was interested to hear how you were getting on.
What did he say?
Well, he said you were doing as well as could be expected.
Is that all?
Well, that's very good, darling, because he expected you to do well.
Did he really? Oh, yes. Marvellous.
He said you'd do even better if you married Joy.
Mother, look, you, You didn't discuss my private affairs with him.
They're not so very private, are they?
They're nothing to do with him. How dare he poke his nose into my personal life? How dare he presume to make up my mind for me? My goodness, I'll tell you what, I'll give him a piece of it next time I see him. What? What? I'll put him in his place. I'll tear him off a strip. I'll show him that you can't push Roger Thursby around.
Come in, Mr. Thursby, come in. I've something to say to you.
And I've something to say to you, Grimes.
Have you ever given fella? Have you never watched that?
Now, look here, Grimes.
I'm looking, Mr. Thursby.
I wish you wouldn't. You're making me nervous.
You need to be nervous, my dear fellow. You just tell me the tale.
The fact is, Grimes, I want to give you a piece of my mind.
If you can spare it, my dear Thursby.
Grimes, you had lunch with my mother.
Yes, no, I did. Charming woman. Most attractive, delightful case. You know, you're very like her, my dear fella.
You think so?
Distinct family likely. With a mother like that, you should go far, my dear Thursby.
Do you mean that?
Yes, my dear fella, you should go a long way. Which direction you'll go is another matter. You made a start. You're learning to tell them the tale. You did very well in that bigamy case, I hear.
I was rather pleased with that.
Of course you were, my dear fella. Every time you stand up in court and open your mouth, you're learning something new.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so too, my dear fella. But I want you to stand up in court again and open your mouth, if you will.
Well, certainly, Grant.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You'll be doing me a great service if you'll help me with this case.
Of course I will, Gaz, to do anything I can.
Oh, that's right, my dear Thursby. You just do your best. Even if you do find it a bit hair-raising.
Good heavens, Grant, I'm not a new boy anymore, you know. I mean, why should it be hair-raising, standing up in court?
It's before Mr. Justice Groove.
Well, it couldn't be Groove. Oh, my God. He's the one who's rather difficult, isn't he?
No, my dear fellow.
He's not? Ah?
No, he's not rather difficult, my dear fellow. He's very difficult.
In that case, do you think I'll be able to do what you want?
Well, I doubt it. But you can try.
Well, no, wouldn't it be better if you did it?
Oh, much better, my dear fellow, but I won't be there at the beginning. I'm in the middle of a case in the Court of Appeal tomorrow, and I've got to finish my argument there. And this case before Mr. Justice Groove would start before I finish. Now, it's a squabble between two neighbors, my dear fellow. The plaintiff's are Mr. Brigstock, and the defendant's name is Chandler. Now, we're appearing for Chandler. Now, as you know, my dear fellow, in a case like this, everything depends on how the parties go through the witness box. Now, I must be there in time to cross-examine Brigstock.
Look. Suppose you're kept in the Court of Appeal and can't be there in time.
Well, then we'd lose the case, my dear fellow. That's why I want you to help me. I want you to keep Mr. Brigstock in the witness box until I arrive.
What? Cross-examine him, you mean?
That's right.
Well, I'm not very good at that.
Oh, no, you're not, my dear fellow. Well, it doesn't matter what you ask him. All I want you to do is to keep it warm for me.
Yes, but won't the judge get rather impatient?
Well, he's very impatient, my dear fellow. He may even tell you to sit down.
What do I do then?
Keep standing up. You've got a right to go on asking questions. Now, you ask the fellow anything you like as long as you keep him in the witness box till I arrive.
But, Grimes, I don't think I can do it.
Well, of course you can, my dear fellow. It won't be so bad for you as it is for most of us.
Why not?
Because Mr. Justice Groove has one weakness.
A weakness?
Yes, my dear fellow. He's got an eye for a pretty face.
Really, Grimes, just because I'm not seeing those girls anymore, it doesn't mean that I'm not.
I never thought you were, my dear.
No,
it's all Groove. No.
But how does a pretty face come into it?
The solicitors instructed me to send in a young lady along to help you.
Who are the solicitors?
Moody and Sharp.
Oh, good heavens, that's a firm Sally's gone to. Grant, is the young lady Sally Mannering?
That's right, my dear fellow, but no canoodling in court.
This is too much. Grant, how dare you?
What did you say?
I said, how dare you? This is another plot. You've been talking to my mother again this morning.
Oh, no, my dear Thursby, I assure you.
You haven't?
Oh, I couldn't get a word in. She did all the talking.
That figures.
Yes, I can't imagine why you're in such a terror-diddle, though, my dear fellow. Don't you want to see the girl again?
Look, I'm mad to see her again, as long as she doesn't think I arranged it.
No question of that, my dear fellow. Moody and Sharp know the form, and it's their client. They'll want you to have all the protection you could get.
Protection?
Pretty face, my dear fellow. When old Groove sees her sitting down there and realizes she's on your side, he may not treat you quite so much like a terrier with an old glove.
Is that what he does?
Oh, he did worse than that, my dear fellow, if you don't have some form of protection. With a little bit of luck, though, your girlfriend will keep him quiet for long enough.
Well, how long is long enough?
Oh, not long, my dear fellow. The case in the Court of Appeal shouldn't last me more than an hour.
Oh. An hour?
Yes.
Well, a whole hour on my feet? feet in front of Groove?
No, my dear fellow, no, the plaintiff has the first knock. You see, Luth waits for the plaintiff. Now, he'll spend half an hour or so opening the case, then he'll call his clerk. He'll probably be 20 minutes or half an hour examining him, and by that time, with any luck, I'll be there.
Oh, then I won't be needed at all.
No, I hope not. I hope sincerely not. But just in case, my dear fellow, just in case, I want you to make sure that the cross-examination is still going on when I arrive. And with your girlfriend to help you, you'll enjoy yourself, my dear Thursby. You'll have a whale of a time.
Good morning, Mr. Thursby.
Sally.
Miss Mannering, good morning.
Hope you're keeping well.
What do you mean, keeping well? I'm not a piece of cheese.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Natural mistake.
Did you get your umbrella back all right?
I got it back, but it's no use anymore.
If that nasty little office boy broke it, I'll make him pay for a new one.
He didn't break it. He opened it.
Oh, yes. It was raining, wasn't it?
He'd no right to use it. He ruined it. Ruined it. I can't roll it up again. Not like the one. It's all frills and flounces. I can't possibly carry it like that.
Well, not on a fine day. But you could use it when it's wet, couldn't you?
Oh, yes, I could. Yes, I never thought of that.
I'm glad they sent me along to help you.
Look, if you think I had anything to do with your being sent, I didn't.
I know. I arranged it myself.
You what?
Well, I didn't actually arrange it, but when I heard what it was all about, I volunteered.
But even though it meant seeing me again?
Well, because it meant seeing you again.
Sally, do you mean that?
Yes, Roger. I wanted to see you so I could apologize. I'm sorry I didn't trust you.
You were absolutely right not to.
What?
Well, you were afraid I might be with Joy, and I was.
But you didn't know she was going to be there.
Well, how do you know I didn't know?
Because your mother rang and explained the whole thing.
I knew it. I particularly asked her not to.
Why? Don't you want us to be friends again?
Yes, of course I want us to be more than friends.
Just like we were before?
Just like that, only more so. Kiss me, darling.
Roger, not here.
What? Oh, no, perhaps not, no. Sally, I've missed you. It's been awful.
I know.
It must never happen again.
No.
It won't, if you'll marry me.
I told you. I will marry you when you convince me that you finally got that Merivale girl out of your system.
But I have, darling. I haven't seen her since last Friday.
You haven't seen me since last Friday.
That's different.
Sorry. You'll have to do better than that. But keep trying.
Good morning, Thursday.
What?
Oh, Luthwaite, hello. You're everything for Grimes, aren't you? Brigstock and Chandler?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll see you in court.
It's up to you, of course, but old Groove doesn't exactly purr if he's kept waiting.
What? Waiting? Oh, look, Sally, the time. Come on, quick. We must go in.
May it please your lordship, I appear in this case for the plaintiff, and my learned friends, Mr. Grimes and Mr. Thursby, are for the defendant.
Mr. Thursby, eh? Yes, of course. Yes, Mr. Luthwaite, will you please open your case?
If your lordship pleases. This is a squabble between neighbours. It's partly a boundary dispute and partly a claim for assault, with a counterclaim for another assault. I think it'll save time, my lord, if I let the facts come out in evidence. There's nothing very special about them.
Very well, Mr. Luthwaite. Anything that will save time.
Sally, Grimes said he'd take half an hour in his opening speeches, and he'd take half a minute.
Perhaps he'll take longer with the witness.
Mr. Luthwaite, how long are you likely to be with this witness?
Oh, not very long, Lord. I think about 10 minutes.
10 minutes? I'm sure you'll be longer than that.
I'm sure you'll be longer than that.
How on earth can you tell how long Mr. Luthwaite will be, Mr. Thursby?
I hope he will.
What business is it of yours?
Say anyway. You said it on instructions.
Well, I said it on instructions.
Oh, you did you? It's your solicitor client behind you, is it? Thursby?
Yes, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Thursby. Now, Mr. Luthwaite. Why do you say you'll only take 10 minutes, sir, with the witness?
Because that's all the time I think I'll need, my lord.
Very well, then. Let the witness be sworn.
One last question, Mr. Bigstock. Was there anything else you could have done?
Nothing at all.
Thank you, Mr. Bigstock. Exactly 10 minutes, I think, my lord.
Mr. Thursby, would you like to cross-examine?
Yes, please, my lord. Now, Mr. Bigstock.
Take your time.
What? Yes. Thank you, my lord. Thank you very much indeed, my lord.
What are you thanking me for, Mr. Thursby?
For asking me if I'd like to cross-examine. And the answer is, yes, my lord, I would like to cross-examine.
Then for God's sake, get on and do it.
What was that, Mr. Luton?
I was only suggesting that my learned friend should start his cross-examination.
He said he was going to. Didn't you, Mr. Thursby?
Yes, my lord.
And the first question, Mr. Thursby?
Ask him how old he is.
The judge?
The witness.
Now, Mr. Brickstock, yes, I can hear you. Mr. Brickstock, how old are you?
My lord, what on earth has that got to do with it?
It will transpire in due course.
It will transpire in due course, my lord.
I think I would like it to transpire now,
Mr. If your lordship pleases.
We want to know what proportion of his life he spent bickering with his neighbours. And we can't know the proportion if we don't know how long his life has been.
We want to know what proportion of his life he spent bickering with his neighbours, so he must know how old he is.
I don't think the proportion matters. If your case is that he's always quarrelling with his neighbours, put some of the quarrels to him.
Haven't you always quarrelled with your neighbours? Never. Except with this one. And a saint would quarrel with him. What saint? Any saint. Name a few.
Really, Mr. Thursby, you can't ask that.
I can't, my lord?
No, Mr. Thursby, you can't.
Oh, very well, my lord, I won't. Mr. Brickstock, haven't you had 3 different neighbours in the last 5 years, and didn't they all leave?
Yes, and I wish your client would too. Then we might have some peace.
Why did your last neighbour leave?
Oh, because he wanted to, I suppose.
Why did he want to?
Well, how should I know?
I think you do. Wasn't it because you made things intolerable for him?
Oh, certainly not. We're very good friends. Well, that is, until the trouble over the air gun.
What air gun?
Do you mean the make?
Yes, what make was it?
I don't know, it was just an air gun.
Whose?
Well, it belonged to the boy named Dunn.
Lord, couldn't my learned friend start to deal with the facts of the case? We shall be here all night at this rate.
You may be, Mr. Luthwaite, but I shan't.
I'm sorry, my lord. My learned friend is wasting time, and I'm getting a little tired of it.
Mr. Luthwaite, you're a good deal senior to your learned opponent. Without in any way condoning his conduct in this case, I think a little latitude should be shown to practitioners of more recent call.
Especially when they have pretty little dollies instructing them.
What did you say, Mr.
I am tempted to say, my lord, that by the time this case is over, my learned opponent will have been called as long as I have been now.
You should resist the temptation. I should remind you, Mr. Luthwaite, that these discussions are merely prolonging the case. Shall we get on? Your next question, Mr. Thursby, please.
Mr. Brickstock, have you got a dog?
Oh, yes, I have. Why?
Is it not treated as one of the family?
Well, fond of dogs?
I dare say you are. So are a lot of people. But isn't your dog treated as one of the family?
What has that got to do with this case?
His lordship will decide that. Now, doesn't it sit up for meals with the family and look at television?
Well, why shouldn't it? It likes it.
If anyone said anything about your dog which you didn't like, you'd resent it, wouldn't you? As much as if it was said about your wife or daughter.
Well, if someone called your dog a dirty, snarling, pampered bitch, you'd resent it, wouldn't you?
You mustn't ask counsel questions. At the moment, I must confess I'm at a loss to see what all this has to do.
Lord, it's got as much to do with the case as anything else my learned friend has asked.
Then you don't object, Mr. Luthwaite.
Of course I object, but it doesn't seem the slightest use.
That's the most improper remark, Mr. Luthwaite.
I apologize, my lord.
Very well. Now, Mr. Thursby, I think we've had enough of the dog, don't you?
Bitch, my lord.
That will do, Mr. Thursby. Now, let's get on.
If your lordship pleases.
Ask him what his family consists of.
Mr. Brickstock, what does your family consist of?
He's already answered that.
Not completely.
Who's conducting this case?
Now, Mr. Luthwaite, you mustn't get angry. The solicitor is entitled to instruct her counsel.
But she's asking all the questions, my lord.
I can't hear that from here. If I could. He's entitled to make suggestions.
Suggestions? He just repeats them like a parrot.
How dare you call me a parrot?
Because you're behaving like a parrot.
This is intolerable.
Mr. Thursby. Mr. Luthwaite. I shall rise for 10 minutes to give you both an opportunity to control your temper.
That was a master stroke, Roger.
It's gained us 10 minutes anyway.
I say, Thursby, how long is this farce going on? When is Grimes coming?
I don't know exactly. Soon, I hope.
So do I.
Not half as much as I do.
I've got a case in the company's court I want to go to.
I'm terribly sorry, Lucewaite.
Not half as sorry as I am.
But I think I'll pop round to the Court of Appeal and see how Grimes is getting on. You coming, Sally?
Why not? We might as well know the worst.
He said he wouldn't be long.
He'd better not be. The old judge will be getting bored with ogling me soon.
Here we are. Let's go in. Let's pray that Grimes has finished.
Well, all things considered, Murray, I submit that in Milo in Malt, Mr. Jones didn't do badly at all.
That may be so, Mr. Grimes, but what's your authority for saying that your client is entitled to part of the money?
Oh, my lad, I have many authorities to satisfy your lordship on that proposition.
Many authorities?
One good one will do, Mr. Grimes.
That's better.
Yes, sir, it is handing the case up to lordship.
What are you doing here, my dear fellow? Is the case over?
No, I'm still cross-examining Brigston.
Good for you, my dear fellow. Keep it warm, keep it warm.
Look, how long do you think you're going to be?
Oh, not more than another half an hour or so.
Half an hour?
Mr. Grimes, are you addressing me or your learned junior?
I say, sir, my lad, my learned friend is very kindly assisting me in another case.
Well, it can't do it here.
Beat it, my dear fellow, beat it.
Well, you didn't get much change out of that. Half an hour. What on earth can I ask him about next?
Ask him about his parents.
What's that got to do with it?
We might have had an unhappy childhood.
Well, so what?
Well, that may affect his conduct as an adult. It often does. Psychiatrists are always writing books about it.
Are they? Look at the time. Step in, sir. Step on it, for heaven's sake. We'll be late.
Thank you for coming back, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, I'm so sorry, my lord. I thought your lordship said 10 minutes.
Exactly. I said 10 minutes. It is now 11. I can't think that your solicitor client is leading you astray.
Oh, no, my lord, you'd never do that.
Well, perhaps you'd better continue your cross-examination. Or have you finished with Mr. Brigstock?
Oh, no, I want to keep him warm. I mean, I haven't finished, my lord. Mr. Brigstock, I want to ask you something about your parents.
My parents? I formally object, my lord. My client is charged with throwing brickbats over the dividing wall. Not with throwing his parents.
I wasn't going to suggest he threw his parents.
That is very kind of my learned friend. Perhaps he would add to his kindness by saying what my client's parents have got to do with this case.
I thought you might ask that.
If he hadn't, I should have.
Well, I thought your lordship might ask it too.
Well, everybody except the usher is asking it. What's the answer?
I'll tell you, my lord. Now, your lordship no doubt has, a psychiatrist.
I have nothing of the kind. What are you thinking of, Mr. Thursby?
No, I meant your lordship has heard of psychiatrists.
Of course I have. What's that got to do with Mr. Brigstock's parents?
That's exactly it.
What is exactly it?
Mr. Brigstock has done all sorts of things which your lordship might have difficulty in believing a grown man would do. Such as throwing his parents over the boundary wall. I mean, throwing brickbats over the boundary wall. And it may all be due to his parents, my lord.
Geneticism.
If your lordship pleases.
I don't please very much. What I gather from your last remark is that you want to go into the question of genetics.
That's right. Who?
Yes, your client pleases, ma'am. I suppose if you can show that there was something extremely odd in both of this gentleman's parents, it might be very nearly relevant.
Mr. Brigstock, was there something odd with your parents?
Certainly not. What an outrageous suggestion. My father was a Baptist minister, my mother was a justice of the peace.
Perhaps he was brought up too strictly.
Perhaps you were brought up too strictly.
I was brought up as a God-fearing man and to live at peace with my neighbours. And I did so until your client came on the scene.
You don't seem to have got very far with your genetics, Mr. Thurston.
I don't think you've got very far with anything, have you? I mean, Mr. Brigstock, have you never in your life lost your temper?
Of course I have.
Ah, so you frequently lose your temper, do you? And that's why you swore at my client, isn't it?
That's two questions, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, my lord, no. I've many more than that to ask.
I dare say, Mr. Thursby, but only one at a time, please.
Oh, well, which would your lordship like first?
I don't mind in the least. As long as it's a proper question.
Well, I really prefer your lordship to choose.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
Oh, well, my lord, could your lordship remind me of the two questions?
Thursby, you are being very trying.
I'm very sorry, my lord, but I really have forgotten them.
So have I. Something to do with Mr. Brigstock losing his temper and swearing at your client.
Yes, thank you, my lord, thank you. And, Mr. Brigstock, did you not lose your temper and swear at my client? No, that's two questions again. I know it's two. Sorry. Mr. Brigstock, did you lose your temper?
Well, I've already told you, I've lost my temper on a few occasions.
And you've sworn at my client on a few occasions too, haven't you?
Well, certainly not.
Never?
Never. He swore at me.
What has he said?
I wouldn't soil my tongue with the language he used.
It was as bad as that, was it?
On more than one occasion.
Mr. Briggs, Starkin, I think you'd better soil either your tongue or a piece of paper. Because otherwise I won't know what Mr. Thursby's client is supposed to have said. Would you write it down, please?
Tell him to write down the name of the place, the time, and the date as well.
Would you be good enough to write down the name of the place, the time, and the date as well?
He can say that. We don't want to waste time by writing more than is necessary.
Oh, of course not, my lord.
Well, he said this, what I've written down. On January the 1st, his back garden.
Let me see the paper.
Might I see it to him, my lord? When your lordship has read it, of course.
You, Mr. Thursby, better both see it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I've got it, yes. Thanks, sir. Blimey, no wonder he wanted to write it down.
He didn't say anything of the kind.
I put it to you that he never said anything of the kind.
He did.
I put it to you that he didn't.
Well, I tell you he did.
But not on the 1st of January last.
It was.
And you swear that?
He's already sworn it at least once.
I just wanted to be sure, my lord. To be sure.
Mr. Thursby, this witness has now been under cross-examination, if that is the proper term, for about half an hour.
Did your lordship say half an hour?
I did.
Well then, my lord... I've done it, Sally. A half hour's up.
Grimes isn't here. You must keep it going.
Mr. Thursby, I suppose you're not by any chance just trying to keep the witness in the witness box until Mr. Grimes arrives.
Excuse me. Forgive me, your lordship. I've been on my feet in the Court of Appeal. But your lordship allow me to take over from my learned friend, Mr. Thursby?
What do you say, Mr. Luthwaite?
With the greatest pleasure.
Your lordship will forgive me for a moment. Tell me, Mr. Brigstock. You say the client swore at you on the 1st of January last, do you?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Now then, you hand in this letter, please, Usher. Now then, will you look at that letter, Mr. Brigstock? Is it in your handwriting?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Brigstock, in this letter you recommend my client in the most glowing terms for a furnished tenancy he proposed to take in Brighton for a month. And this letter is dated the 1st of February.
Well?
Was it a true reference?
I did it to oblige.
Was it true?
Well, you know what references are.
Do you mean that you told lies to oblige?
I wanted to help.
Yeah, you want to win this case, don't you, Mr. Brigstock?
Of course.
How does his lordship know that you're not telling lies to help yourself?
I think I'll rise, Armstrong. You can continue after the adjournment. Oh, perhaps I should tell you that in your absence, Mr. Thursby very gallantly held the fort for you.
Thank you, lad. I'm very much obliged to your learned friend.
So you ought to be, Mr. Grimes. I've seldom heard so many irrelevant questions asked of the same.
Lordship is very kind.
After lunch, you go off to the company's court.
The company's court?
Oh, yes, but your fellow Luthwaite's against you here. He'll tell you all about it. You must keep it warm for me, my boy. Oh, keep it warm, my dear. That's right.
Episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars. Grimes, John Glyn Jones. Sally, Julia Lockwood. Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson. Brigstock, Norman Bird. Luthwaite, John Gabriel. Mr. Justice Groove, Francis DeWolfe. The Lord Justice, Peter Tuddenham. Keeping It Warm was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Simon Brett.